Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So, hey, everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question, why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Revelation and will be continuing today with part two of a study entitled Babylon Has Fallen. So let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 17 verse 9 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
But now he goes on and he says this in verse 9. He says, here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And then it says, they are also seven kings. Now, my translation reads, and yours perhaps would too, verse 10 reads, there are also seven kings. That is not a proper translation. It's not that there are seven mountains and seven kings. It's there are seven mountains who are also seven kings. So this is interesting. Now, again, many commentators, because you have this reference to seven mountains, Rome was known as the city upon which was built upon the seven hills. And so immediately there's this connection in the minds of many commentators that this is undoubtedly a reference to Rome. I think Rome is definitely included in here, but I don't think it is really here specifically referring to Rome. But listen to what he says. He says, concerning these kings, five have fallen. One is, at the present time that John writes, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. And he is connected to the seven, and he is going into perdition. Very, very difficult to understand exactly what this is referring to. The best thing that I have read on this has to do with the kingdoms, the great world empires that ruled over Israel. And it's very interesting that it fits the number perfectly. It says there are seven. And at the time that John wrote, he said, five have fallen. If you think back in history, you first of all have the Egyptians with Pharaoh ruling over Israel. Then you have Assyria, the Assyrian Empire with Sennacherib leading Israel, the northern kingdom, into captivity. Then you have the Babylonian kingdom with Nebuchadnezzar carrying Judah off into captivity. Then you have the Persian kingdom with Darius, the Medo-Persian kingdom with Darius. Then you have the Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great. Those are five. Five have fallen. One is, of course, that would be a reference to Rome. And the other has not yet come. The other being that next ruler over this new empire that is going to arise. And it seems to fit to me better to understand it that way. So there's coming another, a seventh kingdom, a seventh empire, and that will be the revived Roman Empire. But that is going to be relatively short-lived. And the beast who is of the seven, but is actually the eighth one, He will come and he will take complete and total authority over this final empire. So he tells us now about the 10 horns. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Now, maybe you remember back in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the image, you remember the great image with the head of gold and the chest of silver and the arms and the legs of brass and the thighs of iron and the feet and the toes of iron and clay. And remember, there were the 10 toes on that image, and we're told there that it would be in the days of the kings, these kings, the toes representing the kings. It's a parallel picture right here with the 10 horns. The 10 horns on the beast are the same thing as the 10 toes on the image. And so again, we go back to this idea that there is going to be a confederation of nations with 10 kings ruling over them, and they are going to reign temporarily, and they are going to be the ones to turn that empire over to the beast. So before the Antichrist comes, this power will have developed. He will not necessarily be the one to bring it all together initially. It will have developed before he comes, it seems. And then they, at a given point, are going to give their authority back over to him. So these are of one mind. They will give their power and authority to the beast. These kings will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people, peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. So here's an interesting twist in the whole thing. This harlot, this religious element is going to be hated by the kings, and they are going to destroy this harlot. But this will open the door then, or this will be the precursor to the establishing of the actual worship of the beast promoted by the false prophet. It all fits in perfectly. But notice the last verse, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. The woman that you saw is a great city. I think here it is undoubtedly Rome. And ruling over the kings, not in a military sense or in a governmental sense, but ruling over them in a spiritual sense, having this great spiritual authority. Now, again, this stuff shouldn't surprise us because this has happened many times over in history. And it's even happened to some degree from Rome after the breakup or the dissolving of Imperial Rome. Then you had the development of the Holy Roman Empire. And the popes themselves, for many, many centuries, ruled over the kings of the earth. They ruled over those princes and those rulers in what we know today as Europe. And in the East, with the Eastern Empire, there was a split in 1054 between the East and the West. The same thing was true in the East. From Constantinople, they ruled over those kings in that whole eastern region until Islam arose. And then, of course, there were long centuries of war between the Islamic powers and the Byzantine powers. So all of this stuff that's already occurred is going to occur once again. It's all going to come together. And I believe that Rome, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and maybe get a few people upset, but I think even more specifically, we're talking about Vatican City. Vatican City, I believe, is what's being referred to here. And of course, that's part of Rome. But it's a separate sovereign nation, interestingly enough. And what we're talking about here, though, is that it will become the center. It will become the headquarters for this religion that will be basically an amalgamation of all of the religions of the world will come together, and I think they will be based right there out of Vatican City. St. Peter's is one of the most magnificent buildings in the world, but I'll tell you, it is presently, it is a massive center of idolatry. So it's going to continue to go in that direction. And it's going to be Romanism, Protestantism, all of the various other isms, the cults and all of those kinds of things, along with all of the different Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam will be there as well. But that will be the center, the religious center. I believe that that's what's being talked about here in Revelation chapter 17. But you see, what's going to happen is that is going to be destroyed by the 10 kings, because in the end, the beast requires that people worship him directly and him only. You see, this will be an indirect sort of a worship. It'll be a false worship in that it's everyone in this massive religious system will have rejected the biblical Christ, but there'll still be ideas of gods, and, you know, it'll be sort of all roads lead to God. This is some of the stuff that we have right now, but it's all going to come together as one massive system. But there's a point when the Antichrist will not tolerate even that. He will require that the whole world worship him directly rather than receiving worship indirectly. You see, Satan, for all of these centuries, he is the god of this age, as the Bible tells us. And men are worshiping him and serving him, but most of them are doing it indirectly. They don't really necessarily realize that what they're doing, but that is what they're doing. But it's sort of an indirect thing. He's not happy with that. He wants the same kind of worship that God has. Direct, personal, volitional worship. And that's what he is going to require, and he will not settle for anything less than that. And that's what will bring this part of the system will collapse, and then he will take the place of that, or the worship of him will take the place of that. And this is where I agree with J. Vernon McGee. He said this, let me read it to you. He said, "I personally believe that Mystery Babylon is Rome, and that when it goes down in the midst of the Great Tribulation, the religious center shifts to Jerusalem, because it is at Jerusalem that the false prophet will put up his image of the Antichrist to be worshipped. Commercial Babylon is ancient Babylon, rebuilt as the commercial capital of the world. This city is the final capital of the political power of the beast." I agree with him there. He says that what's going to happen is when the 10 kings destroy the harlot, the center of worship is going to shift back over to Jerusalem. And of course, that, you know, being worshipped in Rome isn't good enough for the devil, because Jerusalem is the city of the great king. He wants to be worshipped in Jerusalem. And that's why that temple will be rebuilt. And that's why that image will be placed in the temple there. It's interesting, though, this quote from Vernon McGee is from probably the 70s, maybe the early 80s. And listen to what he says. He's talking now. He came to the conviction, for a long time he had disregarded the idea that Babylon itself might be rebuilt. He thought that was a wrong view. But later on in life, he changed his opinion. And listen to what he said, writing this in the 70s. He said, "A few years ago, it seemed rather far-fetched that the power could reach back into the Middle East. But since then, we have experienced a shortage of energy. And when they cut off the oil supply, the whole world feels it. They wield tremendous power. The wealth of the world is moving into that particular area because of the price of oil. It could well become the great commercial capital of the world." Now, you see, here we are. We're in the United States. We're, you know, just down the road from Los Angeles and just, you know, not too far from San Francisco. We can travel cross country and be in New York City, or we can go to Chicago, or, you know, we can get on a plane and go to London or Paris or Milan, or, you know, and you know, for so long, these have been the centers of commercialism. These have been the centers of finance and all of that. But the reality is that's all changing. That's all shifting. I read an interesting article today on Dubai. Listen to this. Since the establishment of the United Arab Emirates in 1971, Dubai has developed a distinct identity as a modern and dynamic emirate. Dubai now enjoys a global reputation as an economic hub and an excellent location for investment. Dubai has successfully developed its status as a major city, enhancing the well-being of its people and creating an environment that attracts businesses and individuals. It is the home to the world's largest skyscraper right now, and it is to be the home in the near future of the world's largest bridge. Now, here's my point. I don't think Dubai's Babylon, but it's really close. It's really close, and it is becoming a financial center in the world. The Middle East is going to come back around, because this is what we always forget. When we talk about the ancient Roman Empire, when we talk about the European Union, when we talk about all of this, we forget that all of those Middle Eastern countries, they were part of the Roman Empire as well. And it seems like we're always leaving that out of the equation. But we've got to bring it back in. And looking at that, looking at the website there and looking at what's happening in Dubai, I think, my goodness, man, this is just, you know, and as I mentioned to you before, with the situation in Iraq, with the UN's intention ultimately to build a cultural center there where ancient Babylon once stood. I mean, all of it, you know, it just seems far too coincidental to be a coincidence. It seems that it's moving in the direction that God said it would. And so, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So it'll be the place of incarceration for the demons after it's destroyed. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgments have come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Babylon will become the commercial center of the world once again. It's hard for us to think about that. You know, it's hard for us to think about anything but Wall Street and the Dow and all of that sort of stuff. But you know what? Here's the thing. It all started in Babel. The rebellion started in Babel. It will end in Babel. You know, I remember some years ago seeing that this was the craziest thing, and there's something even more recent that somebody told me about. I can't remember it. But there was an ad for, it was some kind of technology with a computer or something, and it actually said on it, I think it was talking about global communication, it actually said in the ad, this was the little quip in the ad, reversing the Babel effect. We're reversing the Babel effect. What happened at Babel? Man's attempt to build a tower higher than God was foiled because God confused the languages and dispersed people around the world. Now, what's happening today? Communication. We can communicate with anybody, anywhere. I have this little thing on my computer where I can type in English and it will translate into any language I want it to translate into. It's astounding. You see, this is what's happening. It's all coming together. And notice all of this stuff that's described here, this is all luxurious. These are all luxurious items. So there's going to come this point in the future, and I'm not saying that, you know, some of the previous centers are not going to still have relevance, but, you know, nowadays, if you've got an Italian suit or, I got this perfume in Paris or something like that, whoa, boy, that's great. Hey, in the future, it's like, hey, this is a Babylonian suit right here. You know, yeah, I got this ring in Babylon. You know, that's what they're going to be talking about in the future. So it's astounding to see. And again, you know, in just giving you an example of Dubai, like I'm saying, I mean, these guys are, I think they're showing what potentially can be done in that region. It is, of course, right in that very region. And so it goes on, and we're going to just read the next 10 verses, and then we're finished. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas. Now, this term alas is a word that describes anguish and distress of soul. You know, it's like when the stock market crashes and people commit suicide and things like that. That's what they're talking about here. And just like in New York City, when those planes hit those towers, and then a few hours later, those towers were lying in rubble, people were, alas, how could this happen? How could something like this happen to these great towers and this great city? Well, the whole of Babylon is going to be consumed, and men are going to be overwhelmed because all that they have put their trust in, all that they have put their hope in, all that they have worked so hard for, it's going to be over in a day. It's going to be over in an hour, is what we're told here. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flautists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. It's interesting. You go back to Genesis and you remember the story there when Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. His descendants, they developed music and they developed all of these different things to entertain themselves and to keep themselves from thinking about God. Notice what happens here. All of that stuff is silenced. It's all brought to nothing. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who were slain on the earth. And so all of the blood of the saints and the prophets from all of the centuries, it will all be brought and laid before this final world power where they will have slaughtered the people of God, no doubt by the millions, in that period that's yet to come.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Revelation in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of the Second Coming. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Babylon Has Fallen. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3286. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.